Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
Yo guys, welcome to The Last Lap.
Don't forget to drop a lovely, juicy five-star rating if you're watching an Apple Podcast or Spotify.
Hope you enjoy, and let's get into it.
Welcome back to The Last Lap, everyone. It's an absolute pleasure to be on your screens if you're watching on YouTube, or in your ears if you're listening. Sounds Where crazy, can they listen to us?
Well, all good streaming platforms, the likes of Spotify, the likes of... I heard we're on Snapchat this week and BBM. I heard we're on BBM this week, yeah.
That's a throwback.
So you can kind of catch us anywhere, basically, lads. We're jacks of all trade.
You know when you have like two tin cans and a bit of string?
Yeah, we're on there as well.
Like that's the next media we need to conquer, bring it back.
Yeah, open your voicemail, we'll be there as well. We'll be
that's a bit ominous.
Podcast on your voicemail. You have a new message.
You have 15.
It's just split up into all the clips we upload on TikTok. But you can also catch us on.
You can. Oh, that's a good show. Mm. TikTok's popping off at the minute. And silly season. Well, silly season's behind us, but new season.
Our livery season is here.
We're so close. We're filming this on the morning of the Tuesday before the Haas livery launch. And we thought we'd bring in back. We haven't had you on for a time.
I was on the first one, I think. I was on the original.
The OG.
And I got the email, I got the text from someone like, do you want to come back? I was like, wow, I can't believe it. Can't believe they let me back up.
We allowed him back on. Yasha, quick stop F1, mate.
Hello. Well, how you been, back?
I'm good. Man, every time I come here, I'm like, wow, this is fancy. This is so fancy for the people who are listening. Just got this lovely studio in here. We've got racetracks behind us. What's that? That's Monaco, right?
Yeah, we've got Monaco there. We've got Silverstone.
And then Silverstone. Knowledge. So everything. See the knowledge.
We all.
But no, I'm really happy to be here. Actually excited for the new season now. Like, I think I was not excited. I was like quite happy to like ignore things. But I think the new cycle is starting to ramp up again. Mm-hmm. We've got the liveries / car launches coming up. Mohamed Ben Sulayem's acting up. I don't know what he's on. So yeah, everything is kind of culminating in the start of a new season. I can't wait now.
Yeah, it's great. We're getting the usual drama before the season's even started. It's great, man. You know, FIA versus F1 shenanigans. It's lovely.
Yeah, there's been some rumors. I was reading an article this morning. I think German media saying that F1 are pushing already for Mohamed Ben Sulayem to be replaced, which obviously he's in charge of the FIA.
Yeah.
The F1, but obviously F1, I guess, have some pressure that they can exert on that situation.
Yeah.
I mean, it's certainly not been, considering for the last, particularly the last couple of seasons, the amount of eyeballs that's been on the FIA and Formula One from we should be focusing on the sport, on the racing cars, and so much of the focus has been off track. It's, you know, MBS is walked into this job and there's been a lot of stuff that's gone on. Do we think he will make it? Do we think he's going to still be in this job this time in, I don't know, a year?
To do another drunk
Because it's a four-year tenure you get when you're elected by the FIA to lead. Do we think he'll still be there?
Honestly, so before, I'll give you a little story. Before the World Cup started, Netflix released the FIFA documentary. Uh-huh. And it's, if anyone hasn't watched it, really good, whether you're into football or not. Just about how corrupt and powerful the FIFA are. And the similarities with the FIA were incredible. I was like, I just cannot wait for someone to whistleblow this whole organization. And he kind of reminds me of Sepp Blatter in that I think he's going to stay for the next 2 or 3 years. And because I just don't think, unless within the FIA they move to remove him, then I don't think he's going anywhere. And I think he's keeping enough people within the FIA happy. I think that relationship between F1 and the FIA is always going to be fractious. But for F1 to break away and do their own series, like, you know, at this moment in time, they're trying to sell the series. So I don't think they can sell it as a product without the FIA. So they need the FIA as much as you know, F1 needs, the FIA needs F1. So it's a toxic relationship. As much as I would like to see a change in the head of the FIA, I don't think it's going to happen. And I think when you see stories like that, it's like, you know, transfer news. Mm. You know, when like agents leak stuff to the press, like, oh, we're Arsenal after this player. Like, they're not.
They just want to see how the public reacts or get other people involved.
Yeah, it's all PR. It's all, you know, smoke and mirrors. But I think it's an interesting backdrop to the rest of the season because, you know, sure as poo, the FIA are going to mess up again. I'm trying my best not to swear.
That you can swear as you like.
Oh, cool. Sure as shit, they're going to pop up.
Jean Todt kind of reminded me of the Sepp Blatter character. That's probably inflammatory, actually, because he was corrupt. So allegedly, but...
I mean, even like Max Mosley, you go back, far enough, there's plenty of... there's examples of... I think whoever's been in charge of the FIA, they've... The idea is, well, go on.
We could do the documentary, bro.
Do you reckon?
Let's just find a source in that FIA. We will whistleblow.
You know what? I could just be a fake whistleblower. I'll just be like, I used to work there. We were shredding documents after AD 21. Like, it's fine. Who needs to fact check?
Jeez. Just have a 1 second overlay. This is all work of fiction.
Not based on a true story.
No, not at all. But that's the thing. Yeah, I think whoever's been in charge of the FIA, they've always kind of, whether it's out of their own choice or just because of the job, has had to be quite public facing and front forward. But it's been a... I guess ultimately it's given us something to talk about as well, all of the infighting between F1 and the FIA. We've talked on the show before about the idea of the, you know, F1 diverging from the FIA, but ultimately the FIA own F1. They're just leasing it out to Liberty Media to run. So they would have to go off and go full Super League, which would be... What would they call it? What are we going to say the alternative?
Oh, God.
It depends. Like, if they're like...
One formula. One race. I don't know. But
do you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Like, the if like they're American, it'll be like the Super World Motorsport Championship. Like, I don't know. Something along those lines. It will be something like so bombastic and so incredible. But, I mean, look, the thing is with the FIA, like, they've been sticking... Well, Mohammed's been sticking his foot in his mouth for the best part of a year now. Like, you know, you can probably count, you know, you've got the jewelry gate, you've got this stuff coming out, you know, that he used to, that you said in the past about women, you've got the FIA gagging orders on protests. Like, I actually haven't seen one positive news story about this guy since he came in. So it will be tough for, like, again, in terms of their relationship, like, it really does feel like, I think this is just something we're going to have to get used to. He's completely different to Jean Todt. He's very much, you know, he wants to be media facing. He wants to, you know, I guess, make his mark, put a stamp on these things. But, you know, it's pretty much at odds with the way Formula One's going. You know, look at Formula One now. We've got younger audiences. We've got more politically active audiences. We've got more diverse audiences. And it feels like the FIA at the moment are kind of at odds with that.
Because there's been Valtteri, even Helmut Marko as well. You know, both have been quoted kind of not happy with this FIA, which is beyond Formula One. The whole stance around drivers need pre-approval on any personal or political statements, but then what do you define as personal or political? Blah blah blah. Like,
what do you pre-approve, what do you approve and not approve?
That's what I mean, because it's almost like the way I see it is that by taking a stance, it kind of forces the FIA to actually they're almost shooting themselves in the foot, because if they actually want to truly be neutral, they should just let the drivers kind of do what they want to do and say what they want
to
say.
Because then they don't have to take any responsibility as well. They can just go, it's the drivers. Yeah. But the fact that they're actively being like, oh, well, we're going to like filter through.
Because say you're two drivers and I'm the FIA and I'm like, well, you can say your thing, but you can't say your thing. But then I'm taking a stance ultimately.
It really is. It's just open. Again, you know, the thing is, it could be so simple. You know, they could just welcome these things and let people do that and, you know, have the publicity. And in all honesty, it's almost like the FIA, like, want to be front and center in front of Formula One, when really the FIA are supposed to be like a governing body, kind of like FIFA. Like, when people think of the World Cup, yes, it says the FIFA World Cup, but you think of the teams, you think of the players. And that's how the FIA should be. But it's almost like they want to make all the headlines. They want to control the drivers. They want to, you know, they want to think about the brand. But the brand Formula One has grown exponentially since, what, 2016, since Liberty took over. You know, the audiences are bigger than they've ever been. They're making more money than they've ever made. I don't understand how any of this is detrimental to the FIA's branding or image, other than them probably disagreeing with the political stances that are being taken. And then, like you say, that is, in effect, taking a political stance.
Yeah, because, you say that about the sport growing. I think Forbes, they were saying that, so Liberty, I believe they bought F1 for about $4.5 billion. Yeah. Forbes have said, and I don't know whether this is based off that kind of the potential Saudi like looking to buy for $20 billion, but Forbes have said it's about $17 billion. So that's already like a, what, 4x?
4x,
four-ish times.
On their, like, the sport has grown. Yeah, which, given where the sport was in 2017 and how much more wired commercially appealing it is now, those numbers don't massively surprise me. Like, that sounds about right to me.
You have to remember where the sport has come from. We couldn't even get highlights on YouTube.
No.
In the Bernie.
Literally.
Era. Like, you know, it was like
2017 they started doing that.
Yeah, exactly.
Mate, when I'm researching videos, like, I'm glad I've got like F1 TV now, because I can't find highlights, like proper highlights of any videos of any races pre 2017.
Yeah, it's impossible.
They're not on YouTube.
So it's almost like the sport, from where they took it over, it could only have gone up with the social media. And, you know, Drive to Survive seems to have, like, obviously been an incredible thing for them. But, it can only get bigger. We talk all the time, right? Look at us now. Like, something like this would have been impossible to imagine 4 or 5 years ago. Even 2, 3 years ago, it would have been impossible to imagine. The breadth of content creators out there and the level of content creation. You have to remember, like, football content creation has been happening for like 10 years.
It's pretty much the start, really, to be honest.
Right? Yeah. Whereas F1, independent content creation, and that building of communities and social media is only really happening now. And that's the stuff that, along with, you know, the marketing and everything, is driving people to races, because they want to feel the stuff that they listen to every day and they watch every day. They want to go and they want to experience it. And Formula One's only going to go up. So, 17 billion now. Like, imagine what that's potentially going
to
be.
And maybe that's why the FIA are trying to kind of flex their muscles and take control, because they want to be top of that pyramid. Like, if the sport, like, you know, 3x's in the next 10 years.
Well, because we were obviously talking about when we were mentioning super license points and stuff, and how the FIA is so protective over their own series. You know, imagine if the F1 would, if the F1 brigade were just like, yeah, no, we're just doing the Super League, lads. We are going to do the Super Mega Motorsport World Championships, get me? And
I mean, I'd watch it.
I would watch it, man. There's at least 7 Grand Prix in America.
The thing is, unlike the Super League, because this was taken, you know, football institutions, clubs that are parts of their community and, you know, pushing the commercial stuff to a whole new level. These are Formula One teams. Like, I'm sorry, I'm not attached to any of these teams. Well, like, they're just money-making enterprises.
Exactly, and there's not that geographical connection as well.
I'm here for motorsport, first of all.
The problem with the Super League aspect was you were going to get games between, like, PSG and Arsenal happening in Qatar. It just doesn't make sense. But the reality is, you know, the races would probably be, you know, somewhat different. There'd be some tracks where, you know, there wouldn't be. But whatever. The teams don't have that geographical connection. So it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what governing body they run under. So that's less of a problem.
And that's the thing, right? At the moment, it's a marriage of convenience at the moment, isn't it? But it is becoming increasingly inconvenient. And yeah. I think Liberty probably look at the FIA and the fumbles that the FIA do, you know, whether it's with the stewarding or whether it's with, you know, the media or whatever, and it almost reflects badly on the product of F1 itself. So they're like, why don't we just control the whole product? Yeah. And then, you know, if anything goes on, then at least we'll deal with it. But I just think, I guess it'll be interesting to see. This isn't the last, you know, of
of this.
We're going to be here probably in a couple of weeks. I mean, what, testing 100%. Starts in a few weeks. Yeah. So we'll be here probably by the time testing starts, I'm sure at least two different things.
Two more stories
would have come out. So nice. Interesting, nevertheless.
Well, we've got testing coming up soon.
Yeah.
It's livery reveals and car reveals that we've got before that. Oh, Tom, I'm excited.
Well,
I'm
not by the lie. Time this pod comes out, we'll have all seen the Haas.
I won't have done.
You won't, why not?
I'm blocked by Haas on Twitter. I won't see the car.
You're blocked by Haas on Twitter?
Yeah.
Why? What did you do?
I'll paint a picture here. So back in the times of a young Nikita Mazepin, when that was announced, when that whole shebang was going on, that whole ordeal, I decided that I was not happy with that decision.
Fair.
So I replied to Haas, I believe telling him to suck his nan. I believe that may have been what happened, I think. Now,
do you, is that what you recall?
I recall. I may be paraphrasing.
Are there screenshots? Does the tweet still exist?
It definitely does. Yeah, okay. Yeah. The tweet definitely still exists.
So if I search Nan, I'm near it. Nan.
At the official, at my at, and then you're just at, yeah. Nan, okay. it will probably come up.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, now, this then somehow took some traction, and I ended up ratioing Haas on their announcement tweet.
Oh, it's a pro tweet as well.
Oh,
I think, him. And it was telling him to suck his nan. So then I was like, then they tweeted about him like two, and they kept tweeting about him. And I was like, lads, come on, like read the room.
Yeah.
So I did it like a second time and Ray showed them again.
Yeah.
And then I did it third time. That was the last time I was going to do it, but that was because someone told me to do it.
Yeah.
And then they were like, this can't run. So they blocked me.
Was there any other texts, pictures, videos, GIFs?
There was no media content. I think it was just varying ways in which he could suck his nan. Not he could, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I think apparently, Well, I don't think the admin likes me. I think he thought I was at him, but it wasn't actually at him. It was at Mazepin. So I think
time heals wounds. Yeah. So release our brother in arms.
Release me. Come on. Free me.
Yeah,
free Niro.
Bang down your doors.
I just want to see content again.
Well, so you're not allowed to be honest. It's kind of like, have you seen that Black Mirror episode when people get, like, they have like chips in their heads and then they can get switched so that everything they see is a blur?
So basically,
when we can see pictures of the Haas, you can't just be pixelated through your perspective.
It's just white. But then, to be honest, that's probably what it'll look like anyway.
Would it? Because they've had black with the Rich Energy, they've had grey early days, they've had white as well. So
all the way through the colour palette.
Yeah.
I am not going to lie to you, can care less.
I think it would look a bit like your T-shirt, actually.
I think
white with a bit
of
red.
I think it would, but I think
Team LAH on it as well. Move to Haas.
I think the Haas, I actually think it would be, I don't think it's going to be a massive deviation. I'm not. But also, who have they got driving for them? They've got Hülkenberg and, oh my God. K-Mag, sorry.
Oh, wow. It's going to stink.
Blanked.
The car's going to look stinky.
They still got 1&1 as their main sponsor.
They literally took them off the website last night. So 1&1's, quite a few of them have gone, but 1&1 and Under Armour were both Mick Schumacher.
Yeah,
both
they've gone now, right? Yeah.
Have there been any added?
Is the state's colours like blue and yellow?
What the?
The brand colours.
What, for Haas?
Oh, no. Who's Haas' sponsor then?
Well, so their main one's MoneyGram now.
Oh, MoneyGram.
That's the new, big new sponsor, which is black and red. So it's going to be white, black, red
There'll be some kind of black running through it somewhere.
I think a base black would be nice.
Just bring back the Rich Energy times, man. At least they were entertaining. Do you know what I'm saying? At least there was like something enjoyable going on.
It's true.
It wasn't just a car that had Haas on the side, and that was literally it. I swear, I don't honestly remember a single sponsor being on the car last year. It's probably because I couldn't see it on Twitter, but I don't remember there being a single...
Yeah, say that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
Say, even on track, I couldn't see the car. It was pixelated for me on my screen, on my phone.
It literally blocked your, like, blocked your IP, blocked your telephone signal. Like, not having that at all.
One day I'll get out of Twitch, yeah. But yeah, no, I just wanted to... Yeah, I don't know.
Do you reckon that came from Gunnar? Do you reckon he was like... This needs to stop.
He okayed that
to Gunnar.
It's making us look like a bunch of...
Gunnar's been on his phone. We've been triple ratioed by this guy.
By Suck Your Nan. It can't get much worse than that.
Oh, man.
But talking of liveries as well, we had a little bit of a surprise, but it's not... I think they... It's kind of seemed quite tactical for me to maybe take some of today's hype away from Haas towards Alfa Romeo.
Okay.
Because they have a new title sponsor and they've put out this art livery, which I think it looks like alphabetic spaghetti.
Yeah. Personally. I really hear that actually, yeah. Mm. That was, I mean, to be fair, alphabetic spaghetti is kind of cold, but I don't know about a Formula One car.
Spaghetti.
That. Alpha, really good.
To be fair, I tweeted that and then someone replied that to it, really? And I was like, fuck, that was so good. And I was just like, that was such a missed opportunity.
Yeah.
I actually quite liked it. You two were like, we hate it. And I was like,
it's just an art livery.
To be fair, the sentiment seemed actually quite positive for it. But yeah, it's an art livery.
So when they say art livery, is that just...
It's to show off their new
piece of art, but we're not actually...
They might use it during testing, maybe. Yeah, I don't know.
Well, sure. I think primary, yeah, because sometimes Alpha have done that, haven't they? They last year they had that camo
livery.
So actually, that's a good point. Maybe testing, we might see that on track. Livery. But I think it was.
I don't
more,
mind it. It's just it's this crypto in alphabet spaghetti on the front wing. So well, how do I feel about that? I
mean, yeah, because a lot of teams have dropped crypto endorsements, but.
Just written it on the car.
I mean,
I'm not leaving.
I'm still here. Well, my understanding, obviously, they've got a new title sponsor, Alfa Romeo, replacing Orlen, who have gone to AlphaTauri, which is quite interesting.
I see that, yeah.
So maybe Kubica.
The Alphas.
Kubica kind of reserve driver at some point. It must be.
Maybe. But with now Stake have taken over at Alfa Romeo, and they're like kind of an online gambling, but kind of crypto as well. I mean, they actually there was no NDA that they reached out to me to be like a sponsor or to be involved with the launch in some way, and I was like, not interested, because they're the whole, you know, when Drake's dropping,
I was gonna say but Drake could be there. You could be
is that really Drake's money?
No, it's not, but they could bring him through, and then you could be like, hi, I met Drake, I am F1 certified lover boy.
Imagine F1 certified lover boy. Certified driver boy, even. There we go. Fucking hell. Imagine seeing Drake in an F1 garage and Alfa Romeo.
That might happen.
Him and
Joe.
Yeah. They're throwing a lot of money around.
They are. I guess, like, more seriously, the thing is, we can never really. F1 is always going to be about money, right? F1 was tobacco sponsorships back in the day. And you know, I'm surprised that there's not more gambling, like big gambling sponsorships, the way that you see like Bet365 and football so on. Maybe F1 isn't like a massive gambling market, but I guess there's untapped potential. I'm not encouraging it, but I just, it is weird. But the thing about F1 is, especially now, it's a much younger audience than football. Like, you know, especially I'm looking at the demographics on my videos. I'm looking at the demographics that they're saying are coming into the sport. You look at the demographics, even just on Twitter, you know, I stopped arguing with people. I'm like, you're literally 12.
It's not even an insult. They are genuinely.
You're genuinely 12 years old. Like, bless you. Like, that is, you're so sweet. So, you know, it's almost. I guess I'll put that to you. Is there like a moral question about bringing something like gambling into a main sponsor when you're going to have kids who you know, are going to be influenced, or young people with, you know, some disposable income? Are they going to get involved? Are they going to, you know, it's a slippery slope.
I think typically not even just F1. I mean, F1, I think, has always had a particularly uneasy relationship with the morality of its sponsors. Yeah. But you look at, again, football is full of gambling sponsors.
Yeah. I think there's a stat now, like literally 50% of the clubs in the Premier League are, their shirt sponsor is a gambling company.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you don't know what the sponsor is on a shirt, it's a gambling company. Yeah. From like
it's probably
Hong Kong or something.
Exactly.
It doesn't really exist.
And that's it. So then it comes down to the whole kind of, there is certainly nuance in that, because like for me, fundamentally, I don't have, like, you could say the same about alcohol.
Yeah.
Anything that can be a vice can be seen in a, you know, in a negative way, but also in terms of free will, if people want to do what they want to do.
Yeah.
There's always kind of a bit of an...
And everything in moderation, right? Like, you know, as long as you do everything in moderation, it's fine. If you drink in moderation, if you, you know, gamble in moderation, it's fine, right? And obviously, moderation is relative to whoever does it. But yeah, it's almost like trying to have a go at one section of sponsorship is almost like a bit hypocritical. And like you say, like there's gambling, you can't be mad at gambling when there's crypto. You can't really, you know, can I be mad at crypto when there's alcohol?
Big
like,
oil.
Because where does it stop?
I think everyone's got to have their own individual, like there's certain things, say you've got a particularly sensitive relationship with like, you know, alcohol abuse, for example, then you're going to be more sensitive to seeing alcohol sponsorship. And that can go for it. So I think it's one of them things that everyone's entitled to have their own perspective on it.
But it's just hard to police.
Yeah, and it's very hard to police.
I think it's completely valid to have that sort of concern of like, we don't want to see a cryptocurrency necessarily on every single car or gambling sponsors on every single car. But like, where do you draw the line? Like it really does like...
I can guarantee a lot of people go, well...
I don't want to see cryptocurrencies or crypto companies on cars. Also loved seeing a Marlboro livery on a Ferrari.
Bring back the Marlboro livery.
Like, it's kind of hard. It's, you know, I don't know. It's a hard one to morally judge.
For sure. Because again, like, in terms of sponsorships that... I'm just trying to think of...
Just get Oxfam on every car and just call it a day.
I'm just trying to think, like... Of mainline team sponsors, are there any that are completely squeaky clean? That I like, I'm just trying to.
Patronus is oil again, is like.
Yeah. Like, there's none really coming to mind. Apart from the companies that
Red
I guess
Bull,
supply.
If you're above the age of 16.
Yeah,
and you don't get ID.
But even then,
I got ID'd once for getting
Red Bull,
and I was like, "Nah, just come
really."
On. Yeah, and I had a beard. I was like, "Come on, lads."
You know what? Yeah, completely unrelated. But I just got pissed off by it. Like, I got ID'd for Bucks Fizz on Christmas Eve last Christmas.
Bucks Fizz,
and it really ruined my Christmas. So I was like, "Bro, I'm in my 30s. Like, I just want a little Christmas orange." And Prosecco on Christmas Day. And she was like, I need to see your ID. I was like, you lady have ruined Christmas.
Yeah.
And
ID on Christmas Eve should be illegal. It should be anything
like, do you mean,
that's probably a terrible piece of advice. But it's Christmas, man. Come on, everyone.
I'm not, like, and also, you know, I'm just like insulted that you think I'm going to go take this and drink it on a park bench. I'm underage. I'm going to take this Bucks Fizz. Yeah. I'm just going to neck it.
I love this.
With a WKD as
well. Yeah, like, do you know what I mean? Like, that's just insulting.
I can see this in Niran Yash, like Secretary of Culture. position here.
Sort like, us out. Government.
Do you know, like, when they used to have, like, free travel on Christmas, New Year's Eve in London? I'm like, no IDs. Christmas Eve.
Free drink, whatever
you want. Just ransack the place. I'm joking. Anyway, back to Formula One. So I just had to get that out. I've been keeping it in for a year.
Sponsored by Bucks Fizz.
Yeah, sponsored by Bucks Fizz. Look, if you don't have Bucks Fizz on your Christmas
again,
morning.
Down here,
I love a Bucks Fizz.
It's
good.
Who doesn't? I can imagine a lot.
You're lying to yourself.
That lady who sold it to
you. Yeah. That lady who I sold it to. Clearly not a Bucks Fizz enjoyer.
But as we were talking about, also, it's been announced that Audi have officially now purchased a, I believe it's 25% stake in that team.
They're sponsored.
That's why
they signed the deal, and then
it all makes sense together. But no, I don't think we'll be. I did kind of joke that they could just, you know, I'm sure Alfa Romeo wouldn't like the Audi sticker to be like alongside it. Maybe they can sneak in a little one. But it is part of the process is starting now. They've got their new team. Well,
represented.
There's not team principal. He looks like a quality architect. So I would trust him with things. My...
So does Seidel, to be fair.
They kind of all do.
Yeah.
A lot of them. Yeah, I hear that.
It just, that screams efficiency to
yeah,
me. But he's been at the team for a while. I think he used to be team principal at Trident, I believe. So there's a lot going on at that team. Mm. There's a lot to be... Yeah, that's a team. Sauber's been a team that's... In terms of a team that I've just had very little opinion on, that have just kind of blended into the shadows, not had a strong or negative opinion on it. It's been Sauber, but there's so much going on there now. Mm. I think it seems like a really exciting kind of team to be at.
Yeah.
It's one of those, isn't it? I guess it's almost in the same way when, I guess we're going to have the same feeling as when, I guess, Aston Martin came into the sport and you know, we're looking at like prestigious car manufacturers taking over. It is exciting. I guess, yeah, we'll see. I don't want to get my hopes up. I was like, I thought like, that's mine. That's going to be like, give it two or three seasons. They'll be doing really well. And that's been disappointing. And I just think it's very hard for new teams to come into the sport and make an impact on the sport.
Even big OEMs. Like, look at Honda back in like 2008, right. Like when they pulled the plug. They'd spent... billions.
Yeah.
Not much.
And you know, like, you know, cost cap obviously is meant to help if you respect it. And like, and I just think, hopefully that helps. And hopefully that helps bring the grid together. But for me, I don't know. I think I'm one of those where I'm not going to hold my breath on any new teams coming in, you know, even, you know, if it ever happens with Andretti Cadillac. It's really hard. Formula One is a hard sport. But I really hope that someone does come in and upsets the natural order of things.
Yeah. I do kind of have faith in Audi, to be fair. You're right, it is tough. You can't just come out of nowhere and succeed straight off the bat, but Sauber obviously got the facilities, so that's already like a good baseline for a team like Audi to come in with, and they have had like success in other motorsport categories as well. Like they slapped Le Mans for like fucking 10 years back to back, I swear. Mm-hmm. They still do. Are they still in Le Mans these days? I feel like they don't pull out like 2 years ago. So.
They're not anymore, but I guess they're consolidating, shifting.
Yeah, exactly. But as a company, and again, that sweet German efficiency.
Well, the thing is, Sauber have had this amazing facility for so long. There's always been this talk of this.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
Amazing Sauber wind tunnel. Mm. And they've struggled financially since BMW pulled out.
Yeah.
But now they've got that money. So it's like they can realise that potential. They've always been just like, they've had so much potential, but they've just kind of sat there in mediocrity.
Just waiting for someone to give them some cash.
Yeah, I mean, their finishing position last year was their highest for like years.
Yeah.
I remember researching, it was ridiculous that they didn't finish higher than, don't quote me on this, like 7th or 8th for like about 7 or 8 seasons in a row. It was like, again, considering you had Haas coming out of nowhere, like inherit the Marussia stuff and then out. You know, I'd say outperform them or at least match them over, like, apart from the odd season in like recent years.
They've been better than them most seasons, really. It's just the last two, pretty much.
Yeah, I mean, you look at what Haas's second season when they came in, they finished like fifth or something. So it can be done. That's what would be nice to see from Andretti Cadillac, to show that actually, no, you don't have to inherit a team or you don't have to go to Motorsport Valley. You can be an outsider, come in. Although, actually, Andretti are saying that they want to have their engineering based in the UK. So
it's the home of F1 engineering, and you know, I guess you. I guess some people sometimes say that about Ferrari, in that because they have a smaller pool and a, you know, and a lesser, not a less attractive, because I'd rather live in Italy than the UK anyway. But
Maranello or Luton.
Yeah, right? Like, have you been to Milton Keynes? No, respectfully. But you know, they've got a smaller pool to choose from in terms of engineers who are able to specialize in F1. And if you are a team that is outside of that recruitment pool, you know, it's very difficult to get the best talent, and you know, or you have to develop your own talent, but that takes time as well. So it's difficult for teams to do that. So yeah, no, it'd be interesting to see with Audi, pardon me, with Audi, Andre, any new teams that come in. But I guess the good thing about Audi is that that process is starting now. They're not just coming in 2026. You know, that process is starting now, and you know, they're getting all this data, and they're going to be able to make all these investments and improvements so that they're hopefully hitting the ground running.
Doing it in a sensible way.
Sensible manner.
Let's buy this team, boom, let's go straight.
Yeah, but that does not work.
There's another OEM, actually, which by the time we do the next podcast, we should know whether this is fact or fiction, but Ford...
Right. Yeah, what's going on here?
The rumours have been ramping up.
I did see that.
So I think you follow Vincenzo.
I do.
Twitter, Vincenzo Landi. He was talking about how apparently a bunch of Ford of... contacted a bunch of influencers to go to the New York Red Bull event, apparently, allegedly, we'll see. But also, there's a Dutch journalist, can't remember his name, who I saw yesterday was tweeting about it's imminent that they're going to announce Ford x Red Bull. So basically, Ford come in and steal Porsche's, well, Porsche kind of bottled it because they wanted too much control. Yeah. But it seems like they've come up with some kind of collaboration, which actually, if you go back to, I think it was, I posted it this morning, it's mid-late 90s, you had Red Bull and Ford on a Sauber.
Oh.
It's weird. So they have worked together in the past.
Tables. Yeah.
So, I mean, how does that work? Obviously, so I guess in terms of like Red Bull powertrains and but is it just like Ford logo and marketing?
I imagine. So yeah. You remember when Red Bull had like Infinity?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They? And like... That I think it would be maybe a similar thing to that. They badge the engines as Red Bull, as Ford engines,
but it's actually produced.
But they're not. Yeah.
Okay.
Almost. It's a scam.
Yeah, because they tagged the Renault engines for a season as well.
Yeah.
Tag Heuer.
Yeah.
What do they do? What did Tag Heuer do again?
Watches.
I got one.
Yeah.
Mad thing.
This is my wedding present from my beautiful wife. Yeah.
I was like, you get gifted that by his.
Nah,
I wish. The sponsors are crazy.
Yeah, slap sponsored by Tag Heuer.
To be fair, actually, though, like obviously you can't say names, but we got approached by potential teams as well. So it feels as if that it is happening. I think they said they wanted potentially at least two teams. So I think, and it just shows the size of the sport that. We are in an age where it's looking like people are going to get return on investment. Whereas before,
100%.
You would be sinking money into investments. Maybe the car that you invest in, if it's rubbish and you don't see it on TV, no one's going to see it anywhere. Now, like we were saying earlier with social media, you know, you've got all of these places where people will see your sponsorship, the events that you can do with your drivers and so forth. So, yeah, no, really exciting time for F1.
It's wild in terms of just like brands, isn't it? In terms of like, you know, what? Ford, if you had Andretti coming in, you'd have Cadillac. We've obviously got Renault, Ferrari.
There will be a fourth American race, 100%.
Yeah.
If Ford come in, Cadillac come in, Andretti, like they have to do another race in America. Because, I mean, look, even when I was doing our merch orders, 75% of our merchandise gets sold to America. It is an insatiable market for all things F1. So it would not surprise me if those things happen that you know, we see another race in America. If
you were to hold an extra race in America, where would it be?
Indianapolis, 100%. Then you've got the flashy Miami track. You've got the even more flashy
Las Vegas.
And then you've got proper Indianapolis.
Yeah. You've got the oval little bank in there.
And then Austin's kind of a new, but also proper like...
Yeah, proper racetrack.
I think that's a good balance.
I'm trying to think if we're... You know what? Just to say something different, I would love a race in like New York City. If they obviously impossible,
they're shutting the strip down. So
it's the thing, I feel like you know, but they used to tease like we could have a London City race. And,
amount of times that got proposed.
How annoyed would everyone be where? If there was a race in the middle of the city? Like, cannot get anywhere. Like, there's strikes already. Like, we would not survive with the race.
That would be done.
No, like, oh my
god! Tube strikes and the Formula One at the same time. You must be sick.
Like you are walking from north to south London that day, and you're walking on the North Circular. Look, for me, I'm all for it. I'm all for the expansion of the sport. I know people in Europe think like, why does America deserve more than one race? But America is. Top.
It's a continent, basically.
It's a continent.
It is wow.
Like, it's so big. Like, so, like, the distance between Vegas, Miami, like, they are considerable distances. And to add another one, still, it would be, you know, it's still closer than, like, going from Catalonia to Manicourt.
Or the
French race and so forth. So, you know, you just got to think of it like that.
Yeah, definitely. The sport's kind of, as it becomes less European-centric as well, it'll be interesting to see how...
Laguna Seca.
I'm so sad because when I went to the States last year, I literally drove like past Laguna Seca. I didn't even know it was there. Mm. I'm so sad. When I looked at maps after, I was like, oh my God, I just drove past Laguna Seca. I had no idea.
I really wanted to go to, I was doing like road trip in Italy and a similar thing. Like, I didn't realize how close to Imola I was.
Yeah.
And this was before Imola was back on the circuit. So I was like, I wanted to go see, like, I could have gone and seen like the Ayrton Senna tributes and everything. Mm-hmm. Absolutely bummed out. Shame.
Never mind. And also, quick one with Ford as well, before we move on. They actually, I think this is true. Again,
do not quote him on that.
Don't quote me on this.
This is a legend. This is a legend story.
There's going to be like a Twitter fact check under that.
I think such a violation, by the way, that addition. Sorry, carry on.
I think Ford engines have won more F1 races than any other engine supplier because back in the 70s and 80s, everyone was using Ford.
I am going Ford to engines. Call erroneous. On this one, because didn't Vincenzo tweet? Oh, was it by manufacturer that he tweeted?
Yeah, like, I'm talking like engine supplier.
Engine supplier.
Because Ford supplied many teams back Cosworth, in the 70s and 80s.
DOH. It wasn't Williams, was Ford.
A lot of teams were Ford.
No, to be fair.
Because you know when everyone was like, obviously they were at the back, when everyone was jumping in start, like there were about... Yeah, 30 different teams. You just buy a Ford engine off the shelf.
And
all right. I want to ask because your T-shirt maybe gives away your affiliation.
These are rags.
How are we feeling going into 2023? What's the not just your opinion, but also what have you found the common sentiment around the Lewis Hamilton fan base? Looking ahead to 2023,
I think it's a mix of delusion and absolutely petrified. So I think there's a hope that Mercedes will improve the car. It can't be as bad as it was at the start of last year. And obviously there was progress towards the end of last year. So I would hope that we would start with a car, which is, I would hope if it's like 2/10 off Red Bull, I would take that. Maybe like a 10th and a half.
You can get away with that at the start.
You can get away with that at the start, and then you can develop that. And, you know, after Red Bull got their really serious punishment, then
it's going to cost them between 1/4 and 1/2 a second, according to Horner.
According to Horner,
he's waffling.
Mate, you know what? He's high. His ass, lying. Too busy riding around on his horse. No, I don't.
It's his job to waffle.
Yeah, yeah, it is his job to waffle. Can't wait for Drive to Survive. So I think, yeah, if that's the truth, then we're looking at a team that probably won't be able to develop as much as they would like to.
Yeah.
So I think what's going to happen is Red Bull will start really strong. And then not only will they not be able to develop the car, but then obviously they're going to have to shift attention to next year as well. But 2021 showed that they can do both pretty well. So I think the mood is that I think everyone knows that Lewis is still a top class driver. I don't think, you know, we're not going to just go off stats of that he didn't win a race. Like he won a race for 15 years in a row. Like, you know, not winning one last season, given the car that he had and, you know, the opportunities where he did and could have nearly won a race. You know, I guess Zandvoort, if they're, you know, looking at Yuki's safety car that kind of messed up the strategy and let Max back into that. Maybe Brazil with Max, you know, I'm not going to get into that. But I think Mercedes had the pace in Brazil to win, obviously George did, and you know Lewis was probably a bit quicker than George that weekend, so it would have been cool to see that. But I think there's just, as long as the car is capable of winning races, Lewis will be capable of winning races. The trust is, has the team been able to rectify those issues? We've heard a lot of good talk coming out of the team, but we also heard a lot of good talk coming out of the team last year, and it didn't really feel like they had a real hold on it. Some races towards the end, we were really good. And then races, it was awful. I mean, the difference between Brazil and Abu Dhabi, for example, kind of it symbolises, you know, how we were. So I'm going to say that, you know, if I'm being sensible, then I think Lewis Hamilton, you know, hopefully will do well. If I'm going to be delusional...
Which is why you're here.
Oh, my God. If I'm going to be delusional, I think... Lewis Hamilton, where's my camera? 2023 champion, okay? Oh. I said it. You said it here first. Quick stop F1. Clip this up. I don't know who's that. My guy over there. Clip this up, okay? 2023. Lewis Hamilton, F1 champion. It's happening. The return of the king.
We're getting...
Through goes Hamilton. Through goes Hamilton. David Magic Crofty, he was denied in 2021. But now, eight-time champion of the world.
Sorry. He was robbed in 2021.
He
was.
But he would never say that. He would never say that. He'd give him like a soft one. He'll give him a little soft one. Like, do you know what I mean? But, I'm excited, man. I'm ready to go. I've healed from 2021. I've healed from 2022. I'm ready to be completely delusional again. I think we're gonna surprise people. Like I said, if we're a tenth and a half off, I think Lewis's superior tyre preservation will allow him to run strategies that will get him in positions to win races. And with a bit of luck, we'll be able to win races. So it'll be tough for sure. But I'm just excited to watch some racing again. It feels like this season, although the off-season, like, we're nearly back, but it feels like at the beginning it dragged a little bit, I think, because there wasn't as much going on as, like, after 21.
Yeah, of course.
And to be honest, the whole second half of last season was just kind of like...
It's like a procession, really.
Yeah, apart from, obviously, watching us on the last lap.
Obviously.
The actual racing was just kind of like, it felt like, oh, fucking hell, lads, wrap it up. Because, like...
And I think, obviously, yeah, it's always going to be that way, especially because 2021 was so action-packed.
Yeah,
for
so
every
crazy.
Single race, something was going on. But
yeah, exactly.
It's interesting you say about that, and you didn't mention Ferrari at all.
What do you mean?
I was kind of expecting that response.
What do you mean? I'll rate Ferrari when they can put four wheels on a car and a piss up. Like, doing. I'll rate Ferrari.
Fred in.
And it takes less than 5 minutes.
Like,
as well.
Do you mean?
Fred's cracking the whip now, so maybe.
Yeah, look, I would hope so. But, you know, look, Ferrari are basically like Arsenal between 2013, 2016. Like, it's just pure banner. Like, I honestly, What was it, Brazil, when they were sent Charles out on like the wrong tires? Like,
that could have been that, the fact that could have been so many different races that could have been. That says it all.
Do you know how little that happens?
You know what? Ferrari got in their own way so much. And for Ferrari to be a for me to consider Ferrari a serious team, they have to act like a serious team. No offense to Ferrari fans. Like, I love you guys, but
they deserve better.
They deserve so much better. Yeah. And I think they know they deserve better. Yeah, yeah. Charles Leclerc deserves better. Carlos Sainz deserves better. Mm. Carlos Sainz should not having to be running quarterback from his own car.
Literally, man.
Like, on multiple occasions. Yeah, so hopefully Fred comes in, cleans house, but I need more. I need more. And you know what? The proof is in the pudding. And same with Mercedes. Proof is in the pudding as to whether they can improve the car. And with Ferrari, we're all chasing down Red Bull. Red Bull have been top notch in pretty much every department other than personality and morals. But, you know, unfortunately, you don't need that to win races. So in everything else, in terms of car, strategy, personnel, marketing, whatever, like, they are doing so well, and that's the standard now. Mercedes were the standard. Red Bull are the standard that needs to be reached. And Mercedes had their own strategy issues. Like, I can't imagine the amount of time. I remember Saudi Arabia, Lewis not coming into the pits. We had, so many safety car where we could have done things or we didn't do things, and, you know, left.
Well, Vowles has gone to Williams now, so he was top strategy.
I don't want to disrespect Val, because I know you're off to Williams, so I don't want to I don't want to disrespect James. Good luck at your new job, James. Wish you all the best. Hire someone else to do the strategy, please, and good luck.
Right, that sounds like a good time to go to Equal Machinery now. Indeed. To tail off this podcast, which, if you have enjoyed, make sure you like, subscribe, 5-star, all that jazz. Before we get to it. Do you want to explain what this section of the show?
So Equal Machinery is the segment at the end of the pod where we are allocated 3 random drivers, either this season or during the space of Formula One time.
Yeah.
And we have to argue that in the exact same machinery, in equal cars, that our driver would win, whether we believe it or not. And at the
end, their prime.
In their prime. Yeah, we're doing in their prime.
We're doing so we can pick prime. Anyone. It could be Senna, Hamilton.
Okay. Yeah, exactly.
Schumacher, for example.
Yeah, we've been allocated. Do you know who we've been allocated?
I'm awaiting producer Lewis to... was it on the notes? Oh, it wasn't on the notes. It's on the notes now.
Oh, yeah, he's got it.
I didn't check the notes properly. Oh, okay. Oh. Ooh. Okay.
So,
Niren, you've got Felipe Massa.
All right, Felipe, baby.
That's a good one.
I have Martin Brundle.
Back in the day.
You've got Daniel Ricciardo.
Peak Daniel Ricciardo, I hope, yeah.
Yeah. So this is prime of all.
Let me know. I don't want to anger the Ricciardo fans again, so I'm going to be respectful.
Not again. We can't.
Not again. Although, let me just say that, you know, there was a lot of, I guess, you know, when I watched it back, I was like looking at what I said, and I was like, you know, what I said kind of came out in a certain way. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I know a lot of people have said about that. And I guess I just want to take this opportunity to apologize to absolutely no one.
I knew that was coming.
He's gone. I called it in Belgium. He was gone 2 races later. I don't know what you want me to say. I'm not the bad guy, okay? I'm sorry.
Oh,
I am sorry. Right. Daniel Ricciardo is a great driver.
We're here for the sport. You're about to say why Daniel Ricciardo is clear of Brundle and Massa.
That's what I'm trying to say, right?
It's all in good faith.
It's all in good faith.
At the end of the day.
It was a joke.
Exactly.
And he is fine. He is doing okay. Daniel Ricciardo, the reason why I was getting a Daniel Ricciardo was what we had seen from Ricciardo versus what we were getting was such a disparity.
Yeah.
Like, we're talking about last of the late breakers, Dan Deere on the brakes, making moves that you like. Imagine like China 2017, Hungary. Is this 2017? Hungary, that victory. In fact, every Ricciardo victory is a banger. Like, there's not one Ricciardo victory where he just kind of like... I think Monza was probably his dullest race win because he was pretty much in front for like all the race. Yeah. Like, every other race was a race where he had to make mad moves to come through. Obviously, there was a madness in front of him. And normally in a car that was not the fastest car. Monaco 2018, for example. Like, whenever he won Monaco. So, for me... You're looking at a driver that extracted the most out of his car in the whole time he was at Red Bull. That was like a multiple race winner. If I look at Felipe, do I think he maximized the most out of his Ferrari at his peak? I don't think so. Otherwise, he would have won in 2008.
And this is working perfectly.
This is his answer, by the way.
We usually put a timer on.
Oh, shit!
No, you know what? That was about a minute as well. That was about a minute.
I was really enjoying it. I was just captivated.
Yeah, you got anything else?
No, that's all.
That's
he's
all.
Better.
Right, cool. That was his answer then. That's sorted, mate.
That was my answer. Done. Yeah.
Say less. All right.
Well, Felipe Massa.
I've not even been thinking about Felipe at all.
That's what I mean. He's played us here.
Yeah. Because my mind's now blank.
Well, I'm starting your timer now.
All right, fair enough.
So, good luck.
Well, Felipe, baby, what a man, what a hero. Should have won 2008 championship if we're being totally... Sorry about that, because, you know, I
read the room.
My driver won it.
Read the room.
Get apologise to me.
If it wasn't for that, what's it called? The fuel lead, get me, the little cable. Fuel pump. Probably wouldn't win the championship, realistically. That was completely out of his control. Yeah. Obviously, you know, I think a lot of his time at Ferrari will be looked at via the after 2009 phase, but, you know, he had like a crazy injury. Before that, he was really extracting the most out of the car, was taking it to Kimi, was taking it to a more experienced teammate, even in Michael Schumacher. Probably should have won that 2008 championship at home, put in an unbelievable performance, even did pretty much all he could do in that final race of the season under immense pressure in Brazil, in his home country. And just generally had a really sick career, longevity and that as well. Ooh. At the end.
Longevity.
Yeah.
Well, you can't talk of longevity and not talk of Martin Brundle, because not only did he do it on track, but he does it on
screen.
The grid walks as well. Martin Brundle's grid walks are a sight to behold. He's certainly pushed the envelope when it comes to broadcasting and giving a, you know, and sometimes he gets, you know, fed down a rabbit hole by his
Felipe
producers.
And Daniel Ricciardo haven't done that, to be fair.
I would like to see a Daniel Ricciardo grid walk.
That would be phenomenal.
Write that down.
We'd all sign up for that. I've still got 30 seconds left. I've run out of time last time. So, but Brundle did race alongside Ayrton Senna back in the day. He was able to take machinery, and he actually, you know, him and Ayrton came up through a similar kind of system through the carts and all that. And it did bits, you know. And Ayrton's like considered by many to be the greatest of all time. And the fact that Martin, you know, could outperform Senna on
his day,
on a really good day. That's as much as you're getting from me, I'm afraid. On that,
it was when he was like, he raced against Ayrton Senna. Like, he was there.
There's a documentary about them in F3 or something.
I remember seeing a clip.
Martin Brundle has a really good junior career.
He did. They ran each other quite close. I keep meaning to, like, I saw a clip of it. I was like, I need to watch that, but I couldn't find it anywhere. But
he did well.
Yeah, he did well. He did well considering the source material.
But I think, well. We like to go with guessing who you actually think
was the best out of
prime of the three.
If I'm going to be honest, I felt passion during.
I love Daniel Ricciardo. That's the
best. Those words were real.
Yeah. I until the McLaren move, he was definitely like my second favorite driver.
Yeah.
Then I dumped him.
Glory
Hunter. You know what? Again, it just it felt. You know what? It's sad to see the decline of any sportsman. And, you know, I'm sure there's people watching this like you're watching Hamilton's decline now. And, you know, maybe so, but it's to see such a fall off from two solid and very, I guess, very good seasons at Renault, extracting the most.
Absolutely.
Out of
that. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And then, and to see it literally go off a cliff. You know, drivers don't go slow overnight. So I do hope that he can come back to the sport in a car and environment which suits his driving. And I still think he's got a couple of years left in him. If Hulkenberg can come back to F1, then Daniel Ricciardo.
And the marketability of Daniel Ricciardo as well, man. We'll see him
If he wants back in, I think he'll get his way back in.
I think he will. I think even just, you know, from a marketing point of view, to have him in your car, but his salary, big salary to take a chance on. I think that's the thing, you know, 20 mil a year at McLaren. If you're a team lower down, do you take a risk on that? What if the car doesn't work for him So, yeah, let's see. But I hope he does come back, because we're going to see this year, the sport is going to be a slightly duller place without him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. And definitely comparing primes of those three. I'm all in on Ricciardo for sure.
I am also all in on Daniel Ricciardo. I think that is a little bit unfair. It's kind of on Felipe. As
it is. I was going to say, like, on Felipe.
I mean, Felipe is, I was about to say,
most underrated.
In our top five most underrated drivers, both of us. And we are backing that up by not choosing him.
Yeah.
Ricciardo,
like, when he was, especially, you know, he's the only guy who's been able to go toe to toe with Max in equal machinery that Red Bull and outperform him.
Yeah. And I would say Felipe didn't really, there's not as many instances for me where Felipe Massa was winning races in a car that shouldn't have been winning races on paper.
Very, very good, very capable wins
have come in.
His peaks were higher. Yeah, I think for sure.
Who?
Ricciardo,
yeah, peak, for sure. But then I guess, you know, someone would argue, look, Felipe Massa came within 10 seconds of winning the FIA.
Yeah, he did win a championship. He did win it.
At that point where he crossed the line, he had won it. And then, you know, it kind of changed. So you could argue, look, Ricciardo's never been in a title fight. And Ricciardo, Ricciardo's never won his home race.
Oh, he's had some shocking.
Or even come close to it.
Appalling luck
so,
in Australia.
You know, it's not as... Maybe it's recency bias and maybe it's, you know, the person, but...
You're right, it's not as clear-cut.
It's not as clear-cut as we've made it. And probably the longevity of Felipe Massa's career has probably helped Ricciardo in that sense because, you know, with Felipe, I guess after, like I say, after like 2009... what we saw from him wasn't the same as what we saw before that. So Felipe has, you know, people would cut their right arm off to have the career Felipe Massa in Formula One. And, you know, it's not a disrespect, but I think the nature of Ricciardo's wins kind of take him.
And like, I mean, the way Ricciardo came in and just, you know, outperformed Vettel in his first season.
Wild,
That's the kind of stuff that you don't see very often. Special driver. Hopefully he'll come back. But
well, there you go. Daniel Ricciardo in equal machinery. Congratulations, my friend.
Big up.
Congrats.
And Nyasha, mate, thank you so much for coming back on.
No, thanks for having me.
Let everyone know where they can find you and what you're up to. What's going on?
You can find us at Quickstop F1 on all social media. We've taken a little break and we're back on the 20th-ish, I think. Either the 20th or the 27th, we'll be back. But yeah, you can find us on all. Come and have a chat with us if you like F1 content. If you like F1 merch as well, and go to quickstopf1.com and get stuff like this.
Sensational. We'll be back just in time for the start of the new season. Tomo, I'm extremely excited. We're going to have lots of car reveal news next week, so stick around. Car launches and livery reveals. There we go.
Said
it the wrong way around. Anyway, car launches will be starting and that next week, and I'm gassed. I just want to see. I just want to see the cars. It's just going to get me excited. It's going to get me
hyped, man. We need the cars. Like all this other stuff. It's all like, it's air. Yeah. What we need is the real
cars right there.
The cars right there. Let me see the liveries. Let me see the drivers as well. It's time to start hearing and seeing these guys. And I'm really excited.
Yeah, very excited, very excited. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you are watching on YouTube, make sure to like and subscribe so you don't miss anything. We'll obviously be doing every single show next live shows, to watch along with every single Grand Prix next season. So stick around for that.
The pod is obviously always on here. If you're listening on Spotify, give us a 5-star rating. Or wherever you're listening, add our BBM pin if you're watching on BBM. If you're watching on LinkedIn, just why, to be honest with you, don't know really.
Hey, underrated platform. I'm going to start.
I don't think we're professional enough for LinkedIn.
You know what?
The backdrop is, but I don't know about it.
Let me tell you now, I went on LinkedIn once. What did I see on LinkedIn? I think it was like a Mercedes post about Lewis Hamilton. And there was people hating on Lewis Hamilton with their work.
Oh my God, that is crazy.
I was like, that is, like, you're in your 30s, you've got your professional stuff. And
get back to your desk.
And they're like, cry more. Man, I'm like, guys, come on.
Man, come on. Hating in the workplace.
Hating with your CV out there. Yeah, that is nine to five hating, man. Like, no,
That is mad.
Go feed the kids.
Well, if you are hating on Lewis Hamilton on LinkedIn, then please stop it. But if you're watching us, then thank you very much. And we will see you next time, ladies and gentlemen.
Bye.
Oh. Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.